true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Yeah. Well, hello.
Well, hello. We're beginning a little behind the eight ball with crazy technical problems. Tell them why, Katie.
Mercury retrograde is now. That's why.
That's why.
And also, I lost, let's be real. I lost two huge bags on my trip to California and back. I lost a large blue suitcase and a tote bag. And inside of the suitcase was my microphone for podcast recordings. So I'll have to be buying another one of those, which doesn't upset me too much. But it's just annoying that, like, we don't have it for today.
That's no fun.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Also, I lost like 8 pairs of shoes.
Also, that you're traveling with 8 pairs of shoes is a thing.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on now. What am I, an animal?
I want you to tell me what the function of each of those pairs of shoes is.
Well, they go with different outfits.
But it's like one, like, this is a walking shoe. This is a going out at night shoe. This is a going out nicely, but in the day shoe.
Yes, all of that.
This is a comfortable shoe.
Yes.
That doesn't look good.
Mine are all comfortable shoes that look good in varying contexts with varying outfits.
Okay. All right. And it's important.
Luckily, what's weird is that none of it is too big a deal. Like, two of the pairs of shoes were like shitty and old, and I was already like, I should replace these. So I was like, no big deal there. I didn't lose my tennis shoes, athletic shoes. I didn't use the shoes I wear the most because I was wearing them at the time. So, like, it wasn't the hugest loss. The worst loss is the microphone, and the bag itself was like pretty decent.
Yeah.
Anyway, the funny part is how I have no idea where I lost it, because as I was telling you before.
Right. You weren't flying. That's the sort of thing that happens when you fly.
Yeah. But I did stay at like 5 people's houses over a 1 week period of time. And what would happen is each time I get to somebody's house, I'd like unload my stuff, close the trunk and start loading things in one at a time, because I couldn't take it all in at the same time. So my theory is I left these two bags out on the street corner while loading other things and either forgot they were there and didn't go back and get them and somebody took them, or like came back to get them and somebody took them, but I had forgotten they were there. You know, some version of that is like maybe what happened. Or it's like sitting in somebody's house and it's in a weird corner and they haven't found it yet.
Right.
I left a ring at Dina's house. I left this glasses case at Eric's house. I left a bunch of shit everywhere. But everybody's been really sweet and just mailing shit to me. So this was here by the time I got home.
Nice.
It got here before me, which was great because I drove for 6 days.
Any driving adventures to share like you almost always have?
Thank God, no. I mean,
You didn't have a toothless, super high hotel manager, or a lightning storm attack you, or
a sandstorm take a piece of my car off the side of it. Mm-mm.
Or a hotel that you couldn't pull into because they didn't have the right kind of garage.
Fucking hell. Or a snowstorm where I slid off the road. That was pre-podcast. But yeah, no, thank God. No, I was very vigilant on the radar. I was like not making any moves that weren't on a perfectly sunny day through a perfectly sunny area. Like, I was just on top of that shit. And then like stayed in Albuquerque for 2 days in the middle of the trip with my dad because I was like, nope, there's a storm ahead of me. We're waiting that fucker out. Had a lovely time, sat by the pool, got my work done, worked with clients. Just like, nah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was smooth. The hard part about it was because I wasn't like going on an adventure to a place. It was more like, all right, I just need to get there because I'm going home. It wasn't like, this is what a fun thing I'm setting out on. It was more like, okay, here we go, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was like consciously trying to enjoy myself. Like when I would get places, Austin was fucking fantastic again.
Is that where you're moving next, Katie?
Well, I mean, no, because we have to talk about this because of reasons. But I would, you know, my plan is with Austin is I'm going to visit as much as I can. I want to go to Austin a lot. But if I'm moving anywhere, it's going to be Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
To become a movie star.
Well, have a Netflix special.
Okay.
Yeah. Not, you know, I need to be a movie star. But I would like to get my material seen in a big way for all the monies.
Right.
I was talking with Danielle about this. I was talking about, like, as my priorities have shifted with my particular journey and whatever healing has meant to me, I've realized, like, I still would like to have vast stores of wealth, but I have no interest in fame. Like, I mean, it'd be fine if it helped me have vast stores of wealth to be famous. But, like, I don't really need the hassle of, like, people want to talk to you all the time and you got to be nice or they think you're an asshole and then you can't. It's just, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. You know, I always fantasized about being that guy where you'd be like, I don't even know that guy's name, but I see him on everything. So clearly he's always on every episodic show ever, but no one actually knows his name.
Yeah.
But then that person eventually becomes famous. Like you'd start to see like Giovanni Ribisi was on everything and then he became famous.
And then you're that person that when people come up to you in the coffee shop, they're like, what have I seen you in?
Exactly. I want to be that guy.
How do I know you?
Oh, yeah, it's me. I'm that guy. My name is Michael C. Hall. And you're like, nope, it's not.
And then what you end up doing is a list of, I was on an episode of it. I was in this. And they're like, no, this, no, this, no. And then you're like, I got to go.
Can we stop playing this game?
This is dumb. What's happening now? And little dogs are here in my house.
Oh, did you miss your puppers?
It's, you know, it's funny. For the majority of the trip, I didn't even think about them. I just felt liberated. I was like, I'm not a dog mom. I'm just a woman on the road. And then about 3 days out from getting back, I started to like feel them again because I was physically getting closer. And I was like, I'm going to take you. And then I got home and we had a lovely reunion and they were really cute. And now I'm in love with them again. I'm in love with them. And I have to tell you, my dog sitter did some kind of magic on these dogs because they're different. They're like chill. They're best friends now. Like the whole vibe is different. Squeezle's like into playing with other dogs. Nigel is more cuddly than he was before, huh? He like settled into his house. Here he is now.
Hey, buddy.
What do you say? There's Cassidy.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, what a cutie. He's going to be a lot bigger, though. No, he's not. You said he is part Chihuahua. It's so weird because he looks like a puppy of a large dog.
I know. He's fully grown. This is it.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I know, because the paws are kind of biggish.
So it looks like he's going to be a big puppy dog, but he's not.
So that's really cute. And I'm able, the Florida weather is unbelievably good right now. It's the kind of weather where you're like, is there weather? Like the sun is perfect. The sky is perfect. The temperature is perfect. Like when a wind blows, it just feels like, it's not colder when the wind blows, but it's not hotter either.
It just feels nice.
It's just like when the outside temperature is the same temperature as your skin.
Yeah.
It's just neutrality. Oh, God, it's great. Anyway, so that'll change. But right now, it's pretty great. And yeah, kind of glad to be back in a weird way. I love my condo is nice to be in. Good stuff. Had a great trip. Austin, gonna need to visit. You and I should meet there. Holy shit, that's a good fucking city. Duh. Everybody knows that. I'm confirming it. Wow.
All right. Sounds great. Let's do it. I've never been. I should go. I was talking with Denise the other day about this idea. She's like, why don't you let yourself travel? And she's like, you might want to get into that. Like, there's definitely a like holding back. Like, I can't leave. I can't spend money, but I have the money and I have the time. But I lie to myself and say I have neither.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I don't travel.
But you want to travel?
Sure. Why wouldn't I? Sounds great.
Okay.
Absolutely, I do. But I just, I keep going like, well, I can't do it because I got to stay open for work or this or that week. Probably, maybe, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, oh, I might have no, I don't. You don't have to have a fucking show. No one's hiring you to do shit. Go fucking travel.
That would be cool, man.
Yeah. I mean, go to do a fucking road trip or a plane trip or a train trip. I don't fucking know. Go to Florida, then New York, and then to Austin. I got to do something.
Come hang out. There's a beach here. You can swim in the water with a bathing suit on.
Right, because it's warm water.
Yes.
I've been in Miami water once, and it was amazing. I was like, what is happening? Did someone pee in this pool? Am I walking through my own urine? It's exactly that heat.
It's so warm. I fucking love it.
Speaking of which, hold that thought. All that conversation and talk before we got on to try and get your tech working, I got to pee like a racehorse.
Okay.
So give me
Have fun.
2 minutes.
No problem. I'm gonna look at my telephone while he's gone and learn about stuff I don't need to know about. Cause that's a fun thing to do. I've got one dog behind my butt and one dog on my lap. Cool. Checking the emails. Narrating all the things. Lunar eclipse in Scorpio coming up Friday, releasing energy. Let's read this for the people in case we keep this in. Friday's lunar eclipse in Scorpio has big releasing energy around it, occurring at 10:34 a.m. Pacific. This eclipse points to our ability to alchemize challenging material into gold. Namaste, bitches. Since Scorpio loves an ending. This eclipse also marks a fairly dramatic and potent closure to eclipse season. Learn how and where it will show up for you in this week's reading. Okay, Chani app, or Chani app. I love when I'm cranky about how people actually pronounce their own fucking name. I'm like, no, I want to pronounce it like this, because I'm a white woman. And we're the worst. Now I'm checking my Facebook, looking at stuff. You may not, very long enough. Fair enough. Texting her back.
And we're back.
I just narrated my entire stuff I was doing while you were gone, and I hope Desmond keeps it.
Oh, good.
It was, I hope, somewhat entertaining. I also talked about astrology. We need to talk about this. We have a lunar eclipse coming on Friday.
Okay.
And it's fucking Scorpio one. Fuck.
I don't know what that means. Fuck.
Friday's lunar eclipse in Scorpio has big releasing energy around it, occurring at 10:34 a.m. Pacific. This eclipse points to our ability to alchemize challenging material into gold. Since Scorpio loves an ending, this eclipse also marks a fairly dramatic and potent closure to eclipse season. There were a bunch of eclipses. That's kind of it. But just so Scorpio is about sex, death, and money. It's about transformation and healing. And Scorpio is the sign that's like into the occult and the otherworldly stuff, but it has like its toe in the water. It's not fully swimming in the water of the occult and spirituality like Aquarius is, but it has its toe in the water. So it's why it can be challenging. Scorpio energies are like affected by spirituality, but not fully on board. So there can be some resistance to what's going on in the field because Scorpio is like depths of change, but in a way that's a little obscured. It's also about endings, like she's saying, and transformation. So usually with endings and transformation, there's pain. Nah, nah, nah.
Nah, nah.
But endings and transformation are also great because they open us to new beginnings. Hooray.
Yeah. Been a lot of that.
Yeah. So, okay. Do we talk about Atlanta? Do we talk about Rami?
Do we talk about Rami or do we talk about a friend of ours just because it's one of their... I think we could talk about our friend because it's an interesting story, but our friend.
Let's do it. Let's talk about a mutual friend we have who we won't name.
Crazy story, though.
I mean, who should tell it? I mean, because it's which perspective do we tell it through?
Well...
Here, I'll start.
You start.
And then you pick up. How's that?
Okay, got it.
I start getting messages from a mutual friend that Cassidy and I share that this individual, how do we do it? I'm going to start over. This is the beginning. I'm going to call this person a he to make it really not what it is.
Gotcha.
How's that?
Okay. And starting now.
Hey, what's up? It's Rami. I'm talking quietly because it's the middle of the night and I don't want to disturb the other people in my room. So I am trying with all my might to get myself to pee, but it's really hard because I am in a bed and all of my training, my bodily training of so many decades, says, do not pee in a bed. And it's amazing, like, how that my body is totally stronger than my will in this moment. But I gotta pee because my bladder's been filling up. And the reason I have to pee in a bed is because I'm wearing a diaper and lying in a hospital bed in a public hospital in Rome, Italy. I arrived in Rome. I was here for a few days, and then I decided to have an appendectomy. I mean, by decided, I mean I didn't decide. It's what happened. So it's like a deep tourism moment. It's funny because, so I've been to Rome three other times because I have family here, and I came because my cousin in her 70s said that I should come visit her, and so I obliged. But I was like, before I left, I was like, what am I gonna do this time in Rome? Like, I don't even know what I'm gonna do, and this is what I'm doing. Who knew? Well, that's all for now. Gonna go back to this trying to pee thing. Brownie's rules.
Okay, so I start to get text messages from a mutual friend Cathy and I share. He was traveling overseas,
yeah,
and let me know that he was having bad stomach pains in the middle of the night, which is why I think he messaged me, because he was like, hey, can you look at this for me in the records? Do I need to go to a hospital or is this going to pass? And I got very clearly, get to the hospital immediately. So I told him to do that. He did that. And well, first he like ended up, he told me like, I'm staying with a relative in Europe and the relative's neighbor had these medications that I just took. And they helped me sleep.
Just some random medication.
And I was like, what? And then I was like, don't react. Like, they already took the drugs. This person, he already took the drugs. Like, don't react. Anyway, then a couple hours later, he was like, well, I'm in the ER. They're admitting me. Then it was like, just like a series of like, well, I'm just laying on this bed. Nobody's coming to deal with me. And I kept getting like, they're coming. They'll be there within 3 hours, which they did. And then it was like, are they going to treat me tonight or tomorrow? Because he kept saying, no, they're not. I think they're not going to treat me till tomorrow. And I was like, no, they're going to treat you tonight. And then they did. But where I was wrong is he was asking me, what is this? And I was getting a big fat no on appendicitis and a big fat yes on gallstones. And it turned out to be acute appendicitis. And they had to remove his fucking appendix in Europe on a trip.
Now he's stuck in Italy. So then meanwhile, Katie's like, so did you hear about what's his face? And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, let's give a name.
Assuming that I would have already known because this is a person who's very close to me.
Let's call him Charles. Did you hear about Charles?
Charles. So he's like, yeah. So Katie's like, so, you know, that's crazy what's going on with Charles, you know, at that hospital. I'm like, what? Charles? So I immediately start messaging and everything. And of course, he's in a hospital, so he can't. It's like he doesn't, but then he does get Wi-Fi and he finally messages me back. And it's like, this is what's going on. I'm going in for an ultrasound. Oh, turns out it's appendicitis. You know, now we're communicating back and forth. So now I'm the person getting the information. And then they're like, oh, yep, it's appendicitis. They're taking out my appendix. And, you know, then a little while later, it's like, oh, by the way, this is totally free.
Because Europe.
100% free, because not just Europe, but specifically Italy, I guess, and a public hospital. And I'm like, well, there's the reason. And I had been talking to them prior on their trip, and he'd been
him.
He'd been saying like, I don't know why I'm even here. You know, I've been here before. I'm visiting my cousin. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I guess I'll go to this tourist thing. But like, why had you gone to fucking Rome to just hang out in an apartment? Oh, here's why.
Wow.
Here's why you fucking went.
Isn't the universe amazing?
Yeah, I guess that's what's happening, because that was a fucking gift. Like, because even with insurance here, it had been a fucking shit show. Because the insurance, well, you have your copay and your deductible and your dick and whatever.
Yeah. Totally.
It's so just stupid. And no, they're just like, boop, done. And he has a place to stay to recover. Has to put his ticket off for later because that's what's up. So he might have to cancel something that he was supposed to come back for, you know, whatever. But crazy time. I freaked out a little because he was out of
Wi-Fi range.
Out of Wi-Fi range as soon as he started to go into surgery.
Yeah.
And so even after he'd done the surgery, he couldn't contact anybody. And I was sort of the point person at this point. So I was like, And I wasn't hearing anything. And I was starting to freak out. And I didn't know where his cousin was because I didn't know exactly how to get in touch with this person. I was just like, Jesus balls. It was a little scary, but now it's all good. Everything's fine. But it was a stressful 24 hours. He was calm through the whole thing. He was like, chilling. He was chilling like a fucking villain.
I know. He was like, I'm not in that much pain and it's comfortable here. They just turned the lights out. I'm like, what? Okay. But how do you feel emotionally? And he was like, oh, good. And I'm like, what is happening right now? I'd be like fully panicked about surgery. I'd be terrified because I'm alone. I'd be a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just like, yeah, this is fine.
Okay, great.
Getting some much needed downtime, I guess. Whatever it sounds.
I'm wondering too, because he wrote me too after you sent me that and was like, hey, so I'll have more intel. Here's the update. I'll have more intel in a few hours when I'm where there's Wi-Fi, but I'm fine. It went fine. Bye. And I'm like, all right, cool.
So that was exciting.
That happened.
To change. What is it? The new beginnings, life without an appendix that you don't need anyway.
Scorpio eclipse. Yeah. Fuck. And then Denise.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about the housing struggle with Denise and stuff. And it looks like it reached its lowest point a couple days ago or about a week ago where it was really bad and all the worst problems and nothing was going to work out. Everything was going to fall completely apart. And then suddenly in one, like within a couple of hours, everything I keep having this image, like really clear image of like a sewage block, like someone finally plunged the toilet and, you know, well, this was working kind of, but this wasn't. So it was a slow trickle. The sink was still clogged, even though it was kind of working. And then it fully backed up and was like pumping raw sewage backwards into whatever. And then finally, and it's still a fucking toilet. It's still a lot of drama to deal with because purchasing a house is not fucking easy.
It's a lot.
Damn, it's hard.
It's a fucking lot.
And there's still a lot of dots and I's to T. That's not how
sure,
that expression
that works.
Goes.
I got what you meant. Yeah, like I think, and the reason I bring Denise up is because I got this like big download that I wanted to share with her. Mm-hmm. And I was going to talk to you about it here and see if we got permission to like do it in the records or something. But then I'm now realizing I must have gotten it in the shit moment.
Oh, you got it when it was in the worst.
I think so.
Do you want to is it weird to share it now or is it, do we hop timelines?
No. It was essentially just fully surrender to what is. Don't compromise on anything. Let go. Take your hands off the fucking wheel and just let this be what it is. Let it be. Like, keep moving, but like, it's, you got to stop resisting what's happening. And then it's going to break open. And work out, but you have to just like surrender that this is where you are. That was all.
Yeah, there was so much like I don't know how much more I can surrender. I have like it was pretty bleak. It was really dark for a little while there. The struggle was
I believe it.
Really hard. Like I was watching someone I care about very much being just in everything. You know, it was not good, and it's good now. It's still not easy. There's still a lot to iron out. But I was trying to do my work about not getting involved too much. You know, we talked about this on the couple episodes ago about, you know, what can I do? And you were, and the answer you got was kind of that spiritual work, dummy, was very simple. Like, what do you do? Well, the tools we've given you. How about that? How about you do that? And I have been. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I mean that very, like, I took that to heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have tools, but it didn't stop me from going dark myself.
Sure.
Of course, because it got so hard that I was, you know, I was also like, I had one very sleepless night where I was dreaming all night about their situation. And I was like, what the fuck? I thought I'd you know, detached from this. And I was like, no, you did not sleep at all last night.
Well, it's because you didn't process it. So you probably processed it in your sleep, which wasn't sleep.
Right. And so, but then it was like, wasn't that, I don't think it was the next, I think it might have been the next morning that the clog unclogged, the morning after my worst night. So.
That's cool.
Yeah. And, but the positive part of that is I have been basically forcing myself to meditate every day, and I've missed a few days here and there, but I've gotten back into just a 15-minute practice. I'm just like, just sit the fuck down.
Nice.
For 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I found I started by finding a guided meditation that walked you very tediously and simply through the
chakras.
The chakras, because I was talking about how I always miss the second or the third and fourth chakra, like just skip them. I just space out. And so this one was like keeping you on target, like, and I was forcing myself to like listen. And I listened to that one multiple times until I kind of memorized them better, because I could never hang on to the colors. I could never hang on to the details of what they were or even where they were necessarily. And then I found one that just has different tone, a bell tone or bowl tones for each chakra. And it gives it, and it like goes, and I'm like, okay, now I'm in the root, and it's a red and whatever. And then, oh, no. And then it goes ding. And then it goes, no, it's orange. Okay, good. And I'm in the sacral chakra. So then, and I'm stupid because I never realized that the chakras were also Roy G. Biv.
Yeah.
The colors. It's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd never made that connection before. That's how detached, that's how unwilling I was to learn the chakras.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my story about, I transitioned from talking about Denise to talking about me and my my conversation with myself around having some kind of practice or rigor.
Can I clarify one thing? I'm wondering if you... Oh, let me think about this. Because there's a difference between, I'm sure you know this, I'm just going to clarify for the listener, because there's a really good teaching point in here. When you're saying, I thought I had detached from it, the only real way to ever detach from something is to process our own feelings about it, which means have the feelings and feel them. But I say that because that's the biggest lie in the spiritual community, is that you can detach from a hard situation with someone in your life by just detaching. Like you can just like separate yourself and be separate. You can if you actually have no stuff around it.
That's a really good thought, actually. I did know that and I didn't know that. I mean, in the sense that I realized that that was my mistake.
Okay.
In how I was dealing. I thought I had detached from it. I said that because that's what I thought.
Got it. And that's the cool thing about being related to other people, is that their stuff will bring up your stuff around that stuff. And then we each get to process our stuff. How fun. But that's how we get to real detachment, or real like okayness, you could say, with whatever's going on with someone, is like we have to process our own shit around everything that's going on. And we like to think, oh, that's theirs and I have nothing to do with that, except for when you do.
Yeah, because I'm going to. That was the challenge, was like, right, it's not how do I not take it on. You don't not take it on. It's going to come in.
Yeah.
You
process your stuff around it.
You deal with it.
Yeah.
And that's what I wasn't doing, as I was trying. I think you're right. I was still trying to be like, okay, don't let it in. Don't let them have, you know, too much presence in your, don't let them have too much space, you know, real estate in your soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The thing is, too, it's like, this is why, this is a nice transition, actually. This is why the Sufis say the person you pair up with romantically is the most important decision you make in your life, because everything that's theirs becomes yours.
Uh-huh.
Everything that's theirs becomes yours, the good and the bad.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, you're going to navigate their stuff inside of you, your stuff about their stuff. So you want to look at the partner or the potential partner, this is for the folks listening, and go, is that an amount of stuff and a flavor of stuff I want to and am willing to deal with my stuff around or not? Yeah. Be fun. Side note, it'd be fun to name a dog Roy G. Biv.
Yeah, that's a good name for a dog. And they wear a rainbow collar.
Should we call you that, Roy G. Biv?
Just one final thought on the process that I was, you know, finally coming up with a little bit. And that is, I did notice that when I got to the heart, which I usually was skipping when I was doing any kind of casual meditation, whenever I'd get to the heart, tears. Like, and that's not something that I have not in the past had significantly visceral bodily experiences when meditating. And so that was cool just to note, like, no, you've got some, this is where you need, like, that was clearly the place that needed to work through. Like, I'd be like, do, 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 rrr. I'd be like walking up through them, and then I get to the heart, the green heart, and I just be like, oh, that was great. So that was good.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest clue you can use, they taught us this in Sufi school, is the thing you can't hear or the thing you go to sleep during is your thing.
That's what it's I was doing.
It's the thing that's most for you. Yeah. So you got to find a way in. Most people go like, I just passed out. I guess I'm just like good with that. It's like, nope.
Literally the opposite.
Yeah. Because it's your stuff and it's too hard to deal with. So you got to dig in. That's cool.
Whew. So
doing it.
Doing it. And now this week is weird because I have no work. Mark, literally zero work. I don't know what I'm doing with myself this week. It's a very strange feel. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's uncomfortable. Any auditions on the horizon?
No.
Can I tell you about one of mine?
Please do.
Then we have to talk about Atlanta.
Yep.
And then we have to talk about my vagina.
Okay. So things on the list. Atlanta, vagina.
And man. Okay, shortest version, audition. I got called back for Orlando Shakes, big ass theater, really pretty. Oh my God. Venus and Fur, two-hander, naked on stage. Except not naked, bra and underwear on stage with a dog collar. Okay. I don't have to do that for the audition. The hardest part of the callback is I have to do a Transylvanian accent. The character is sort of two people. She's an actress auditioning for a part, big stretch, and she's a Transylvanian dominatrix. Second part, not so hard. Transylvanian, I'm working on it. It's not that bad.
Right. Without just sounding like a bad Dracula.
Exactly. Which kind of like, no matter what you do, it is always a little bit like a bad Dracula.
Right. Because you must talk like this in order to be a Transylvanian.
They hold out the vowels.
But just don't do the up, maybe, and that'll help.
Then I end up keeping it too flat, and it sounds like a robot Transylvanian.
I want to suck your blood.
So I think what I'm going to do is practice it both non-accented and accented, and just because they haven't said what they want, like do they even care about it in the callback? I don't know, but I feel like I want to be prepared with both kind of. Anyway, that's exciting and fun, and I feel sort of like it would be a relief to not have to do that show. Like to not have to face everything that being in a bra and underwear on stage and memorizing all those lines and all the weeks in Orlando, and it would mean a lot of things to my life that would be kind of like nice to not have to navigate, but it would be a challenge I'd be excited to take on at the same time. So like, I'm good either way, you know, but I would like the challenge. It'd be a fun challenge. I would not be bored by the challenge of that. And I do feel, I feel good about, like, acting wise, I can act the shit out of this role. Like sometimes you're up for a thing in a callback and you're like, I don't even know how do I do this? What is this role? I'll try. I'll take a stab at it. But this one feels like, okay, I have a take on this. I would cast me in this, aside from the bra and underwear portion of things, acting wise, you know, it feels like a good fit. But bra and underwear wise, that's a thing.
Yeah. That's definitely
it's a thing. How would that be for you if you had to do a show where you're just in your skivvies?
It's funny. Right around when I turned 40, which is a really long time ago now.
Yeah.
I was in like three shows in a row in my underwear.
Huh.
And I'm aware that they were all like not like sexy time sexy. They were all like, oh, because he's slightly dumpy in his body. This is appropriate to like. It's real, you know, and slightly comedic because he's just like, I'm this awkward guy. It's like I wasn't out there being like sexy guy in his underpants. I was out there being like, hey, I'm a guy in my underpants. And it was like three shows in a row. One was I was supposed to be a little sexier, but I still, you know, I got my little ponza. It's a bigger ponza now, but it was a little ponza then. But then I was, yeah, I was in a show at Aurora. I was in my underpants, and I was just a show with TJT in my underpants. And there was a third, but I can't remember what it was.
Do you ever feel self-conscious about the package itself?
Oh, the down below part? The cock?
Yeah, cock and balls.
The twigs and berries, the cock and balls? That's interesting. I have, when I was in grad school, people saw my penis once on stage.
Okay.
I was naked for just a moment. I was changing clothes at my locker.
No, but I mean in underwear on stage.
Oh, like whether it looks too small, too big, too something?
Yeah, yeah.
No, because honestly, I'm going to say I feel like mine's about right.
Okay.
It's not crazy. It's not like, whoa, what's going on there? But there's enough there to be like, oh, yeah, and that's cock and balls. Okay.
Okay. All right, cool. The reason I ask is, I wonder about that for men on stage, because for women, it's like there's so much to judge. Like there's every part of me is a judgeable offense. Whereas with a man, it's sort of like, is there a dick and is he cut? Like that's it.
Right. Yeah. Does he have abs or not? And is there a package?
Yeah. And if the roles you're playing were not about having abs, everybody already goes, well, fine.
Yeah.
And they move on from that. Then it's just all about the package.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing to look at that you don't normally get to look at in a person.
And in one of them, I was in like tidy whities. So.
Yeah. Outlined.
Or tidy turquoises and dancing on stage.
Oh, shit. So it's bouncing around.
Yeah. Like I was lip syncing and he's supposedly alone in the living room just having a good time.
And so the peen is just like living its life.
Yeah, but it was pretty well supported in that set of underwear. And then in another one, I was wearing like super weird zipper sexy underwear, funny kind of. I'm just remembering what the third one was. It was the country wife. But for that one, because it was snug and you wanted to be in it for a while, you didn't want to have like a cock outline because that's going to be uncomfortable to look at, right?
Okay.
You wanted it to be more like around. You know, just a
blob.
So I literally put a shoulder pad in there. Not to make it bigger, but just to make it like
smooth.
More well-rounded.
Nice.
So people weren't trying to see the outline and be like, what does it look? That's just distracting. It'd be like camel toe, you know? You're like, we don't need that.
Yeah. I like the idea, though, that your penis is well-rounded. Is that on its resume?
Yeah, well-rounded penis.
It's like I'm into skiing and chess.
Intellectual pursuits.
I have friendships and I read books.
Right. And in this context for you, I gather that it is sexual in nature. It's sexy in nature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about like, look at my sexy naked body.
Right.
But you know what's cool about it?
But is it supposed to be a person who's not 22 and super nothing?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
It just, she's got to be, okay, if I'm casting it, what I need from her is she's got to be hot and she's got to know she's hot for those scenes where when she strips down, she's like, what do you think of this, motherfucker? Deal with this. I know you want this shit right here. So that if I can have that energy, which I'm good at, I can do that as an actor. You know, I don't have to believe it to do that. But so I think honestly, what would happen for me if they booked me for it, because I know they're going to ask me, how do you feel about being in bra and underwear on stage? And I'm going to tell them the truth. I'm going to tell them like, well, at right now, not great. I'll do it. But and I'll be able to not be in my own way about it. But I don't know that's what you want to see. But if you're okay with what you see, then fine. But I will also say, then I will be doing some working out and some, which I already am doing. But I would like commit to some shit to get to like, I feel comfortable in these underwear on the stage, because I feel like whatever angle you get me at, I'm not unhappy about what you see. Now, I feel very conflicted about that sentence I just said, because it's very buying into the judgments of this reality. You know, like it's very like, oh, so I'm going to try to make my body look the way America says it should look for this play, you know? Ugh.
Yeah, that's not ideal, but also it is what it's what the thing is about. So then you're like, fuck, yeah.
Well, but depending on what they say, because if they're like, look, part of why we want to do this is we want to be like, you can be a hot dominatrix and not be a size zero.
Yeah.
Then I'll be like, well, cool. Let's find some shit we all feel good about putting me in then.
Yeah.
Then I'm not going to lose any fucking pounds for any fucking people.
Yeah.
So it depends on how they're approaching it and like, are we all on the same page and what's the deal?
Yeah.
I could imagine, I mean, I could really imagine them picking someone who's, it's funny. Sometimes, you know, you have a gut feeling. You're like, no, I'd be better than that. Like, I'm actually really good for this. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Sometimes you're good for a thing and you still don't get it. But here we go.
Tell me about it.
Today is my day to work on it more. I have the afternoon to do that and then teach it some shit. And then tomorrow morning, early as fuck, I take the animals to my sister's house. Then I teach a 2-hour healing class. Then I drive 2 hours to Orlando, be naked in an audition, drive back. Not going to be naked in the audition, but I'm just being silly for fun.
Have you ever had to like submit a photo or disrobe it partially just to be like, this is...
No.
Have you ever had to do that in an audition? I'm trying to remember. When I was casting, I feel like we had to do that at one point. When we were doing A Noises Off, and there's one of the characters spends most of the time in lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a fucked up, but it's awkward for everybody because it's like, okay, I want to ask this question and I want to address it and I want you to be okay with it, but I don't want to be like, hey, let us see you in your underpants. But ultimately it is like, well, we do need to see what you would look like in a bathing suit.
Ugh.
And you just, you talk about bathing suit instead of underpants just because that's different, even though what you're going to put them in is going to be lingerie.
I still wonder if you could do that now.
I don't even know. I mean, you can say, role requires this. Are you comfortable in this?
Right.
And then I don't know how you address, like, we'd like to be able to preview this.
Yeah.
Or you just say, I guess we don't preview it. We just hope for the best. I don't know.
I do not know. I mean, I think you'd have to let go of your ideas about how bodies should look if you were going to say, we're not going to preview it.
Right. And you just say, are you comfortable presenting in this way?
Yeah.
Because that will be required of this role.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this in a couple different ways. I have like a bunch of different ways I could frame this whole thing. Like part of me is like, okay, is this like the last piece of my sexual abuse trauma healing where I get to choose to say, no thanks, because I'm not changing my body for you people, because people who change their body for people are traumatized and trying to be perfect to fit into the hegemonic patriarchal white ideas of things.
Yeah.
Is it like, that's the teaching? Is like, have a fucking boundary. No. Or is it like, lean in and deal with what comes up in the discomfort of all of this?
Yeah.
Because there could be deep ass healing for me in that. You know, I think it was sort of the answer, like on a healing level and on a health level, is as long as leaning in isn't going to traumatize me or re-trigger traumatize me, then it's fine. But if it is, then there's no, this is a good topic and this could take us into some healing work if we want to do anything.
Yeah. And I have another thought that just occurred to me about the whole casting problem.
Okay. I was talking about this with a client earlier today. There's a lie in the spiritual systems that people fall into a lot where, when it's not in the spiritual systems, it's traumatized, usually women, but sometimes men. I've seen it with both. And I'm sure non-binary folks, where we think, people say this to me all the time, and I had to learn it on my own journey. And so I love to be able to help people through this one because it's such a time saver, is they'll say, well, should I do this really torturous thing that I hate and don't want to do because I'm going to learn something from it? And I'm like, absolutely fucking not. Like the example today was, I should probably take this job I hate, have no interest in, and am bad at the skills that are required for it to learn about all the other times it was hard for me to have this job and I hated it then too. And I'm like, hard no. That's called don't take jobs you hate, period.
There's plenty of lessons coming down the pike that you don't get to say yes or no to.
Yeah. And that's the only lesson there is to learn about when you hate doing a job and then you get offered that job again. The only lesson is the universe is going, are you going to finally say no? It's not going, will you take it again and suffer more? No. Yeah. Because when you take the job you like, you're going to have a fun time and there will be lessons. So do that. It's just, it's self-hate really disguised as I'm going to learn something. And there's no reason to learn through torture and pain. There's going to be plenty of pain through things that you want to be choosing.
Yes. I have to get something out because it's kind of relevant and it's back to the other topic. And it's because it's something I had already learned and just unlearned while I was discussing it just now. Of course, fucking anybody, any, let's just talk about that role in Noises Off. She is a sexy young woman who runs around in underpants the whole time. Guess what? You could clothe any fucking actor to be awesome in that role.
Exactly.
If they were a good fucking actor.
Exactly.
I'm kind of mad at myself right now for not like getting to that right away with that thought.
I hear you.
I'm remembering who we did cast and she was typical, you know.
Right.
Leggy, blonde, boobs, all the things.
Yep.
But I'm like thinking about a bunch of other actors just off the top of my head, just running them down and being like, oh shit, she'd be hilarious in that. Oh, but she's short and wide. Great. Put on a sexy short and wide set of fucking for her. She'd be fucking hilarious in that. Like anybody can do it. You can make anybody sexy as long as they're comfortable in that space.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was just like, it just took me, I feel stupid for, but that is an old thought form. That's the old thought form. It's like it's a comedy. Let's find the comedy. Where's the comedy?
Mm. I mean, there's a lot of comedy in jiggling.
There's a lot of comedy as long as you're owning the jiggling and not pointing at it and going, ha, it's funny because you're fat.
No, exactly. I'm talking about just like normal ass jiggling that most of us do.
It's funny because we're in a body.
Right.
You know, because bodies are fucking hilarious.
Well, like I keep thinking about Lizzo with this and like Adele and just like all the new wave of like, I also am really into like one thing I'm really into about Gen Z kids is they all dress the way they fucking want. I mean, I'm generalizing and I'm sure there are people who hide their bodies in Gen Z, but I see so many Gen Z kids. And like, I mean, like 23 and younger, maybe.
Those are Xennials, excuse me. Gen Z is like just barely older than us, younger than us.
Okay, great. Whoever these young people are, I don't care. Whoever these young people are, they wear these fucking high top jeans that are like baggy and high top that like emphasize the belly. They wear tank tops that show the arm fat. They go, this is me. Fashion says high waisted jeans. I'm wearing them. I don't give a fuck. Do you know how many girls are at, I go to Orange Theory now, it's my workout thing, and I'm talking about big women wearing spandex up to the tit line, like, deal with my hips and belly, deal with them, and then like a little bralette, and they're all 25 and younger, and I don't know if what's actually going on is they feel pressured to dress that way, because that's what the fashion of the times is, or if they're like, fucking deal with me. I like to believe they're like, deal with me. Like, I don't have to fucking look a certain way to wear high-waisted spandex. You can handle my belly, America. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm so impressed by them.
Yeah.
I was like always fashion backwards because I was trying to hide everything.
Yeah. I spend an inordinate amount of time trying to hide the fact that I have a belly.
Can we just for a second?
Oh, we're looking at the dog asleep. Behind in the lumbar position behind Katie's butt, but she's got her chin up there on the armrest. So cute.
Yeah.
Stupid. It'd be great if we didn't have to hide our bodies, if we could just live in them.
I mean, we can. That's what the Gen Z, millennial, whatever the fuck's called, are teaching us. Look at fucking Lizzo. Every concert. Have you ever looked at concert footage of what?
Did you see the thing that she did about Karl Lagerfeld? Because the whole.
No.
Okay, so this is the Met Gala was celebrating Karl Lagerfeld, but also there's this whole other narrative that Karl Lagerfeld is an odious piece of shit, fuck you, human being. He's a fucking Nazi, practically.
What?
He's a terrible, I don't know about that, I might be exaggerating, but he hated fat people, apparently, and was made no bones about it, you know, as a fashion person. And he's a piece of shit, and he abused people, and he said, well, you know, models should expect it to get groped.
Wow.
Things like that. He was a terrible human being. So a lot of people were still, like, honoring his vision while still wanting to, like, say, and also, fuck you. So Lizzo apparently put herself in everything he loved. Like, he loved pearls, he loved this, he loved that. But she put it on a big, fat body.
Right.
And she took a picture of herself in a McDonald's kitchen, literally eating fries. Like, that was her photo shoot to be like...
Wait, I'm pulling this up.
Fuck you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hold on, I need to see this. She's such a fucking badass.
I love her. And then she played a flute, a flute duet with James Galway.
Again with the flute, or that was last time?
That was this time. She played a flute duet with, like, one of the flute heroes of the world.
I'm not seeing the McDonald's one yet. Hold on.
Maybe it's not in McDonald's, but she was eating fries. Lizzo dress.
I mean, that is some awesome fucking subversive shit she's doing. I do have to say I love Kim Kardashian's gown. Holy shit, I love it. Ugh, come on. Sorry, I got distracted. Fries. Let's try adding that word.
I'm not finding it. I saw.
No.
I hope it wasn't like someone faked it.
Yeah. I just got a lot of pictures of fries. That's nice. Well, I see her dress, and her dress is like pearls over black, which is, he was into pearls and black. But this, there's no fry eating. Anywho's all.
Yeah. I'll send it to you because I do have it. I do see a reference to it, but I'm not finding the picture. Ah, there it is. Here, I'll just.
Oh, you have it?
I'll just share my screen for you. It's not a great picture, but that was the whole, yeah.
No, I see it.
They look like McDonald's fries to me.
I just so fucking brave and ballsy and wonderful.
She's awesome. Okay, wait. So now Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. All right. You know what? Okay. There's a real humility exercise for me in this story. Like, it's vulnerable for me to share this. So I think it's a good reason to share it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think of the shortest way to tell the story. So I got a new agent in Atlanta. We talked about this on here. I think I told you this, right?
Yes.
Okay. And they're called Aligned Stars. Did you tell you that?
No, you didn't tell me that. That's funny.
It's the name of the fucking agency, Aligned Stars. Meanwhile, ever the millisecond I met them, I was like, these are grounded people. Oh, they're all women. Oh, they're listening to me when I talk. Oh, they like my idea for a touring show. Oh, they want to help me get a Netflix special. What? They're so far, I'm just like, what is what? I can't, I keep being like, really? Because what? Like agents, I have not had that experience before where I feel like they're in the room, they're listening, they give a shit. I said to the head woman at one point, I said, like, you know, I feel like you're really hearing me. And I said, I feel like you actually kind of care about what I want to do with my, what my idea is of my trajectory. She's like, we have to care. Otherwise it doesn't work. And I was like, well, none of the other agents I've fucking ever talked to ever gave a shit. They kind of did. You know who has given a shit in the past is managers. Like managers in LA think of themselves, or the ones I interacted with, as like, I'm helping you think about how to craft the whole big arc of what you're trying to do.
That's what I understand. Whereas agents, I'm just trying to get you auditions.
So I didn't have the expectation that they would necessarily think that way. But this woman has been a casting director for 38 years in LA, knows everyone, everyone has produced a bunch of films and raised a fuck ton of money for these films, and is really interested in this show I want to do, the show that's also a healing event. And I did one in New York, and I'm like, how do we get this to tour around the country so that I can like live in one or two places and always be traveling to tour, which would scratch the travel itch and I won't have to move anymore. That's kind of the dream. And so I've had three meetings with the head agent over there, and she's already started to submit me for stuff. She had me meet yesterday with her agent who lives in Jacksonville. Did I tell you this?
No.
One of her agents in the agency, they're located in Atlanta, lives 3 minutes from me. And her name is Katie.
So is my agent.
That's right. A lot of people have you heard my joke that every agency is Katie, Jessica, and Barbara?
That makes sense. I'm sure there's a lot of Jessicas too, for sure.
Yeah. That's literally every agency I've been with. There's a Katie and Jessica and a Barbara, and this one included. Anyway, I met with the Katie, and we had all this shit in common. She wants to book healing sessions. She's into astrology. We talk about human design. She's into it. We liked each other. And she was like, you know, we have this thing at the agency where we want to feel like in partnership with our people. We want to feel like we're collaborating. And we have some clients where it's not like that, and it's not as fun for us, frankly. But you're the kind where we would be collaborating. And I'm like, thanks, man.
That's awesome.
I know. I just feel like even if nothing comes of it, just to feel like I'm like talking to real humans who give a shit. That's the whole fucking thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Anyway, so because one of the agents there is interested in potentially maybe helping me actually like get the touring show off the ground and then helping me find funding maybe to produce a tape of it that we could then sell to Netflix.
Yeah.
And because she has the connections to do that, I'm like, well, fuck, man, if I need to live in Atlanta, which is only 4 hours north of here, in order to be close to you so we can collaborate and produce this thing, fine.
Yeah.
Now, if I can stay here and travel up there for this and not move, okay, that works too. I got my sister here and I got the beach and I got the astrology here that's creating all the abundance. And because that's, if you recall, like Jacksonville is on my, yeah.
Thanks, Greenville.
Is on this, like, for the listener, 30 degree parallel or something that's like five exalted planets for me. And I'm just like, let's just keep exploring that. That's pretty damn abundant. Anyway, I'm just waiting to see how things shake out. And I have another meeting with the bigger agent lady in a week and a half or something, where I'm going to say, listen, I'm ready to move forward with focusing on this, like as my main creative thing. Would you like me to be near you regularly so we can like do this? Or do you not need me to be near you? In which case I'll just travel up and stay for days at a time as needed. Because the other thing is with TV auditions, they're going to send me on. If they want me in Atlanta, like I'll go. So far, she's been like, doesn't matter because callbacks are mostly happening on Zoom. Still, but then last week there was an update from the agency like, hey, FYI, some places are now having you show up for callbacks. So like, FYI, that's happening. So I've been looking into like houses and apartments and like, how could I get out of my lease? You know, I'm like looking into it, but it's interesting. It is the first time in a while that I feel like I don't really want to move. Usually when there's been a pull to move, I'm like, let's go. But now I'm like, oh, that's a lot of work. I don't want to do it. You know?
Yeah. And you did just move sort of a little bit recently.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of following just for my human design peeps, I'm following the emotional wave, waiting until there's clarity, not making a move until they're, you know, like one day at a time. Today's not the day to choose. I'm on the emotional wave about it. Here we are. Which brings me to lover boy in California.
Right. Rekindled.
Yeah.
Reconnected.
Yeah.
Reestablished. What are you going to do with that?
We could do 3 hours just on this. So I'm just thinking about how do I start talking about it? I think in terms of, since we're a spirituality podcast that is comedic, I want to talk about how I'm navigating it as a teaching tool for a thing that's possible for people listening. And then over time, we can talk, if we want to, going forward about more specifics and things. We have a history for the listener. He needs a name.
Okay.
We get to make up a name. And I think it's only fair. You get to make it up.
Yep.
Did I name Denise or did you name Denise?
I don't even remember. I probably did.
I think you should still do it. But
I feel like you grabbed onto it, and I'm not going to name your person Janine. That's what I'm not going to do.
I'm clear on that.
I think that this person henceforth should be named Chauncey.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. So
what do you think about these?
Talk to me about, you got those slap on the frame glasses. Those are pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Shout out to Pear Eyewear. What? I'm going to leave those on right now. Okay, Chauncey. Because we did, to be fair, in Colorado, we had Newman Manfredson. Okay, then Chauncey needs a full, like, three names, British authoritative name.
Chancellor Chauncey. It's his title. He's a chancellor.
Love it.
Lord Chancellor Chauncey.
The third.
Lord Chancellor Chauncey the third.
Now, the reason it's the third is this is our third time trying to be with each other.
Is it three or four?
It's three.
Okay.
It feels like four, barely, because the first time was kind of almost split in two.
Right.
But not.
Right. All right. So talk to me about Lord Chancellor Chauncey.
Oh, boy.
How are you navigating it?
Okay. One day at a time, surrendering the outcome, being present, connecting when we feel like it, not when we don't, honoring his needs way better than I used to. And that's it.
I have a question about that.
Well, I'll say this and then I want to take your question. I have like ideas, right? I have projections. I have visions for how it could work. I got it all figured out in my head. I'm like, oh, here's how it'll go like this. And I'll go here and then he'll come over here and I'll go over there. And then eventually we'll get it. I get it all. Like I got a solution in my mind. Okay. But I'm wise enough at this point to understand. Nope. Like, man makes plans, God laughs. So I'm like holding the vision of what I think is possible. And I keep getting downloads too for like ways that this could all be just fine. Like for me, there's many shapes this can take that will work. What we have to find is something that will work for both of us, obviously. And if he wants to, and if I want to, and that's what we're kind of figuring out now is like, do we want to do this? So what's been happening is all the stuff that was like kind of that was unresolved in the past is being handled a completely new way because I am now able to do so. So the overarching gist that I think is humbling and vulnerable to share here for me is that I was not ready or able to, I want to say, NVC process our stuff before. Like, he always wanted to use NVC, and for the listener, that's called nonviolent communication, which is a tool for trying to really hear your partner without your projections of what you think they're saying on it. And at the time, I was in so much judgment of NVC that I was like, that's dumb and I don't need that, and no.
Right.
Which, even the sentence sounds insane to me now, because now I like...
It sounds a little violent.
Super violent. It's pro-violent anti-communication is what I was. So like, I teach NVC now in my classes, and like, I've learned about needs and getting them met. And he was always trying to be like, can we talk about what our needs are here? And I was like, no, you're stupid. These are dumb ideas you're having. Tape your mouth shut, gimp. So he really had no way to use the tools he knows work for him in our relationship. Anyway, since then, I've learned all the things and practiced all the stuff and had realizations and had so many moments of being like, oh shit, that's what Chauncey was trying to tell me back then. And then I've been kind of like logging all the things over these 3 years we've been apart that were like, fuck, Chauncey was right about that. Chauncey was right about that. I need to apologize to Chauncey about this. I hope he'll let me talk to him at some point so I can own up to all this fucking shit that I was fucking butt ass wrong about. So I come to California and I didn't know if he'd even agree to see me because I broke his heart 2 times, like bad. Like, he was not down for the breakups, and it sucks. It just sucks. Well, he was willing to see me, and I got to own up to all of it with him. I mean, and I had like no resistance, no problem doing it. I was just like, by the way, you were right about NVC. We should have been doing it the whole time. I now understand the value. I'm so sorry for squashing your voice on that. And I could not hear you. And I was too defended and traumatized and arrogant to like try it. I wasn't capable of it. And that's fucked up. I'm so sorry I didn't try this, this, and that. And I realize now how much I was projecting on you, all this things I thought you were saying underneath ways of being you had. I never asked you. I just reacted. I never did the like, when you say that, are you judging me? Or when you say that, are you, I think you're feeling like this. Is that true? I never did any of that. I was bad at it. I was bad at it.
You never checked your story.
No, I just fucking believed it and spent a lot of energy being like, no, you need to reevaluate your story. You don't get your own story. Like, I know him better than he knows his damn self. Fucked up.
Well, that was going to be my question. As you said, I'm able to honor his needs better. And I was wondering if, like, what in you changed, or did you, or actually the deeper question was, and this is always a question about relationships, what are you willing to sort of do differently within yourself, which is in a sense, say, change yourself?
I will tell you, because I have so much clarity on this now, and this is why I think it's a good topic for us all to be talking about. I can only speak about it so far in my journey with this, but I have to include human design language. I haven't figured out words that are better yet, but I think people will relate anyway. Okay, so Chauncey has a fifth line body. Do you have a fifth line body?
I don't think so.
What's your profile? 3-5-2-5-2-4-1-6-2?
Oh, 3-5-2. No.
Because it'll be really cool if you have a fifth line something so we can talk about it. You know, resonate with you.
Okay. I'll tell you in a second. I have it right here.
Okay, you're a 1-3.
That's right. I am a 1-3.
Totally different. I forget your single definition. It's pretty cool. God, you got a lot of open centers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, I know. I only have three defined centers. I'm an empty soul. I am easily swayed in a lot of places. Anyway, let's talk about...
Okay, so he is a fifth line body. What that means is, this is for anybody, look at your profile in human design, see if there's a 5 in it. Not your type, not your strategy authority, your profile, okay? When you have a fifth line personality or body, the fifth line has a dynamic relationship with what's called, are you with me?
Yeah.
The projection field, which means when you're around someone with a fifth line, either in their personality or their body, you will project on them harder than you do with other people. And what we know about romantic relationship is the moment you get romantic with someone, you start to project on them immediately. It's what happens. So he's got a double whammy against him with me. We're romantically involved and he has a fifth line body. So in other words, are you frozen?
No, I'm just listening.
Oh no, you're good. Okay. Okay, good. His aura does a thing to me where when we're standing near each other, I start to think I know what's going on with him, and I'm 100% of the time wrong. 100% of the time. Now, here's another thing a fifth line body does. It is so steeped in the projection field that everything you're carrying about relationship will come up in you.
When you say you, do you mean him?
No. Nope.
The fifth line person?
Nope.
Or the person?
Yes.
Projecting onto them.
If I'm standing near him.
Okay.
Everything in my field that I have about relationship is going to come up hard in relationship to him because he has a fifth line body. And that's why they're like that. I have this huge realization, like the purpose and the gift and the teaching of a fifth line is come near me and you'll see all your own shit. But at first you won't call it that. You'll say, I'm like this and I'm like that. What happens to the fifth line is they get projected on as being the savior. And then once you hang out with them for 5 minutes, you project onto them that they are the heretic. So people go, you have all the answers. And then you make one human choice and they go, we're ousting you from the tribe. Until.
This is Denise's husband is that.
Okay. Until you, the person relating to them, realize that's happening and go, oh, everything that comes up in me in response to this person is something about me.
Right.
Now, I learned part of this by dating Newman Manfredson in Colorado because he was a projector, which this also happens with projectors. So when you're a projector and you have a fifth line, that's some fucking next level. You are the mirror of everything. So I got a lot out of dating Newman Manfredson because I'd be like, he's like this inside myself. Fuck him. And then I'd be like, oh, what is that about? And then I'd go in and heal it. And then one day I was like, oh, I just love him. He's great. I was totally deluded about his stuff. It was all my stuff. So to long story long, that is what is occurring for me right now with a little space from Chauncey is every day something comes up and then I go, okay, well, what is that in me? And I sit with it and it fucking moves. And then I'm in love. And then a new thing comes up and I'm like, well, I'm afraid that what's going to happen if. And then I be with that and then it moves and I'm in love. Now, what can happen when you work through your shit and when somebody is a mirror is, you know, you move through your shit and then you're not in love. You realize like, oh, I just had shit and you helped me move through it. Okay, bye. Like,
bye, thank you.
We're done. But not so far. So
do you feel? Yeah.
Yes, I do. And I will. That is entirely really? Different. From how we used to operate together, because again, I used to just believe my projections, react to them and break up.
Right.
Now I'm going, oh, I'm having a projection. What's that about? Oh, sinking into it. Oh, 3 days of processing my shit. Oh, fuck. And then I'm like, oh, I feel better. Oh, how are you? Texty, dick pics. Everybody's happy.
Yeah. That's, I think texty, dick pics. Everybody's happy is the name of your memoir.
And this episode.
And this episode.
And like, in terms of the long distance thing, to me, that feels very navigable because I'm a weirdo. I'm like, yeah, you'll just come stay with me for a month. I'll go stay with you for a month. We'll take 2 months off in between. Everybody's happy. Bob's your uncle. Like, I got no problem with that because I just fucking love him. And I know I see it. I just see how it could work. It's easy to me. Now, with him, I should say this before I take your question, which I think I know what it is, but he's in a very different place than I'm in, as everybody might imagine, which is he's like, he described it to me like, I have two streams of energy inside me. One part that's like, she's here, she's open, she's finally owning her stuff. Everything's possible. I'm in love. Let's do it. And the other stream that's like, protect yourself from this crazy bitch because you've been through this 2 times. And he told me, he didn't call me a crazy bitch, by the way. And he told me it took him 2 years this last time to process it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's right to be wary.
1,000,000%. In fact, I'm so happy and proud of myself that my attitude has been, I almost, as your friend,
I'd be like, walk away from me.
Don't date that bitch. Get out of here. Run. Only problem is I'm the, what's it called? The breaking of the example. I'm the example to the curse. I'm the exception to the rule because I do my own work. That's the only way you could ever trust a person in this situation is if you saw them actually doing their work instead of coming back and just doing the same unconscious shit again.
Yeah.
But still, you shouldn't trust me right away.
Yeah.
So we're both like super on board with that. And I'm just having his back around it and being like, I don't need you to commit further than you're ready to commit. I don't need you to. And I don't think he should. I need to work through these things that are coming up in me to find out where do I land with us after I work through these pieces that just being related to you are coming up for me. Because there are things that he and I are different on that I'm now going like, okay, now I'm going to really work through my shit around this before I decide we're too different and it doesn't work because I want someone who fill in the blank.
Right. Is there, what do you think my question is? And project onto me your question.
Specific examples I could give of things that have come up that I've shifted.
Yeah, or behavioral change, like an active, like,
yep.
He needed this for me and I would never give him that. And now I'm giving him that and it's a change.
Yes, I have examples of both. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay, behavioral change. Number one is ask what I've already described is be in the NBC pattern, which is ask when I'm in a car, we were in the car. And I looked over at him and I was like, he's doing that thing. He gets very detail-y about things sometimes, like nerdily focused on details. And it really brings something agitated up in me. And I'll think like, he's doing that to like double down on a point that doesn't matter because he's trying to prove to me he's smart. See how like elaborate my narrative is?
Yeah.
I got it all figured out. So we were in the car and he was doing details. And I go, hey, so I'm having one of those moments. I'm projecting onto you a lot of things about your focus on these details. Can you tell me what's going on for you emotionally right now? Like, tell me why you're telling me those details. Is that okay? Are you open to that? Yeah, I'm totally open to that. Then he's like, well, because it's a point of connection for me. And I feel like if I'm specific, we could like bond over the specifics of this thing. And I was thinking how pretty you look and I wanted to connect with you. And I'm like, oh, God. Boy, did I have a different narrative going on in my head. And I'm like, thank you for telling me that. And then he's like, well, how does it make you feel? And I'm like, well, I feel. And we're just like totally doing the thing that you and Denise do, I'm sure.
Most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, because you have to. Duh.
Yeah. Yeah, that just that concept of I need to check my story right now is, I find that, like, what's fun is like that is NBC or that's all these, it's all the systems, but I don't know that I've ever seen a book called Check Your Story.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, good. Because I feel like that's another good, that's my favorite framing of this whole methodology. It's just like, just check your story.
Because my story is like not correct a lot.
Right. And sometimes it is, but.
And sometimes it is.
Yeah.
But if you don't check it, you live in a fantasy world.
But before I draw conclusions, before I write the moral to the story, let me check the plot.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. That's behavioral change number one. That's a big one because that changes everything, literally everything. Behavioral change number two is I'm willing now. He used to always ask me if I would be willing and he would ask me because he's polite and kind. The fuck?
That's the thing I always got from him.
Oh, he's the best. I'm an asshole. I am such a traumatized asshole. It's unbelievable. And I can say it and laugh because I'm so willing to be different. You know, I'm so willing to do what's not assholic now because of the stuff that happened in Colorado, New York.
You were an assholic is what you were. You were addicted to being an asshole.
My assholery. That's real. That's
I'm an really assholic, real. But it's a different kind of addiction.
No, you're...
Hey-o.
Hey, it's about butts, everybody. Behavioral change number two, he would ask me, would you be willing to tell me what your needs are right now? Because if we could meet each other at our needs, I guarantee we could connect again. And I'd be like, needs are stupid. I don't live that way. What needs? Which is funny now.
Which is not something you would say to me or to anybody else in any other context. You never...
Correct. Now, remember, this is pre-podcast. This is like years before.
I guess you're right. That was V1. V2 happened during podcast.
Well...
Chauncey V2 happened during podcast. We've been through Chauncey V2.
But at that time, we didn't have anything coming up that we could apply this to, he and I. The first thing that came up was, I got to leave this state and I can't do it with you. And I'm triggered because we're different and I got to go. And then...
You just didn't give it a real... It didn't never had a fighting chance because you weren't going into it.
No, I was out. I was like, well, I'm leaving and you don't want to leave and I don't want you to come with me. So we're fucked.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, you're not attracted to me. And this is, I can tell you're back in your thing. And I don't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with me.
Yeah.
Now, if I were in that moment, I would know what to do with it. I would do the thing I'm now doing, which is I would go like, ooh, a thing is up in me. I'm going to sit with that thing and do my relational dynamic healing energy therapy combo blend thing that I do now that I didn't do then.
Yeah.
The work has changed since then, because I, frankly, the shit I went through in New York broke my body so bad that it broke me into a deeper level of connection with my emotional world that then allowed me to integrate the physical and emotional body more fully into the energy work. So it wasn't just like operating on the spiritual level. It was operating on all levels, because back then I wasn't ready to just do the relational part of my healing. I was breaking into it right at that moment. But anyway, so behavioral thing number two, he says now, like, well, what do you, can you tell me what your need is right now? And I'm like, ooh, yes. Yes, I can. I know what they are.
I need a Jamba Juice.
No. I know what needs are. I believe in the value of talking about them. You're right that that's important to talk about. Here we go. And so that. Number three, behavioral change is owning up to, I have now owned up with him every single thing I was wrong about and just let him have that. I have no need to prove any kind of winning or rightness, which at the time with him, we would lock horns a lot and we'd be like proving. Not the second time around, but the first time around. Again, the second time around, nothing had come up yet because we were just like in love. So like nothing had come up yet. Okay, so that's three behavioral changes on my part.
Anything in his end?
Yeah. Number four behavioral change on my part is my heart is different from how it was before. And so I feel this deep, because of the mom healing stuff I've been doing here in Florida. So I feel this deep, and then I'll talk to you about the other thing, sense of protection over the connection we have. I feel like you and I have a love thing. I don't want to fight. Like, I'm not going to fight with you. I will share my needs. I will take space. I will, like, I feel like I'm just not going to lock horns on stuff. If we're disagreeing, I'm stepping out and I'm getting clear and I'm coming back with a need request. I'm not doing this. I'm right. You're wrong. Fucking shit. Like, I just won't do that. I'm done with it. Okay. That's four behavioral changes that have changed our dynamic. Him, he has boundaries now. He used to sort of, his thing was, I realized when we broke up, there were so many things I would just drop for you. Like, anytime you wanted me, I was available and I would just drop my own life for you. And he's like, I could feel you losing respect for me when I would do it. And I was like, fuck, it's true. He's like, I can't do that anymore. And he hasn't been. He's like, okay, that's thing number one on his end. Thing number two is he has a full-time job. He like earns a really good living and likes what he's doing, which isn't a requirement in all relationships, of course. But for me, it was really, really hard on me that he was constantly like, we couldn't share our day-to-day lives on an equal playing field because buying an espresso was a threat to his financial reality.
Right.
And now he's like a rich tech bitch. And I'm like, and we like went to dinner and I was fully expecting to just pull my card out. And he was like, you know, I'm a person now. So why don't I take it? I was like, okay. And I was like trying to like stake. I was like, okay, that's great. Cool. Inside. Oh my God. He's paying for something. And then we like went to a bunch of dinners and he paid for everyone. One time we were at a grocery store and I was like, I'll just get these mangoes myself. And he was like, I got it, babe. I was like, I'm going to have an orgasm right here in this store. I feel like such a like pretty lady when he does it. Oh my God, I can't handle it.
You've always wanted to be a kept woman.
So there you have it. There's some stuff. What else?
I think that covers what we need to cover on that topic currently. I'm sure that the longer conversation is more around all the ways in which you are discovering stuff about yourself within that process. But like you said, that's a 3-hour conversation.
Yeah. Thanks for indulging all of that. I hope it's been useful to the listener.
Absolutely. Well, I think just to remind, the thing of you being the primary teacher on this podcast.
Yeah.
Of human growth and you know, how it is to live on this planet. It's also important to remember that, like, still going.
Big time.
Like, yeah, I mean, you're an amazing human of light with huge, gigantic feet of clay.
Yeah, for real.
Like,
so clay feet.
Clayfoot. I'm going to call you Katie Clayfoot.
I'm very clay-footed.
Yeah. But also we get to watch that
evolve.
You learn things as well, and then we get to learn from those things. Me too. I mean, oof, yeah. And also the fucking relearns. That's the other part. It's like we didn't say anything today that we haven't said 50 times before. I've learned that I have to feel things and not avoid them for 3 years straight. That's been my primary lesson, and I just relearned it today again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I reminded that was what happened.
Yeah.
Not so much that I did do that, but that I was like, oh, yeah, that's what that was, by the way. It was the not disconnecting, but processing what you were connecting to.
100%. And I mean, this is the thing I will just say astrologically for the Aquarius. They talk about this all the time. Aquarians come into this world with what they call awakened mind. So like you can just hear a concept once as an Aquarius and be like, oh, I get that. Okay, cool. That's truth. Now we teach that. That doesn't mean you can live it. You know, we're excellent teachers. Plus I have Sag rising, which is like Sagittarians are teachers, period. So like I have so much teachiness in my field and in my design and my makeup, but living it is where I'm like that. I mean, and relational stuff is like so different from high concept stuff because it's right here. It's clay, clay, clay all day. So I'm proud to be able to say to people like, I see a lot. I'm good at my job, but also I'm happy to share the failings and the victories of the overcoming of the failings because we're all in human form failing at humanness. And if we can connect on that level, there's nothing we can't talk about and there's no way we can't be close to each other. So like intimacy is born of failure. It's not born of, you know, they say in OA, it's your weakness that binds. It's weakness, not strength, that binds us, which of course is different from trauma bonding, which we can talk about another time. But I really believe that the struggles are what unify us, make us connected to each other, trying to be a person, you know?
I mean, it's one of the phrases I sort of say to my clients all the time. I'm like, look, if you can show some vulnerability, they're going to trust you more. It's as simple as that. Like it is, and it's not manipulative to do so, though it is, and it is conscious. You're saying, you know what? If I show some vulnerability here, I am more trustworthy. It means you can connect to me and believe me when I say something because I was truthful and vulnerable about something.
100%.
That's sort of a corollary of what you were saying of like, yeah, we connect through the weakness more than we do through the like, I'm confident and strong and am never wrong.
Yep.
Bullshit. I don't trust you if you say that.
I mean, it's interesting. I find like when I'm in leadership positions, they want a little bit of both. They want to see you're strong enough to be like, oh, I want to follow her. She knows some shit. But then you're vulnerable enough to say like, oh, she's a human. I want to follow her because she knows some shit.
Whew, it's a fucking balance because we also want to encourage ourselves to believe ourselves and stand by it, stand up for ourselves and stand by our beliefs and carry our own torches and all that shit. So it's finding that balance of it.
I love you.
That's why we do our work.
Do your work.
Do all your work.
Kisses.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Warning, we're going to cut this part out.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.